Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
51551, Ray at RTE.ie. We're now going to somewhere in the mid-Atlantic to talk to John O'Driscoll. Him and Team Power of One are rowing across the Atlantic. They're two-thirds the way through. Hello, John.
Hey, Ray. How are you doing? Thanks for having us on the show again.
Yeah. Tell us about the number of nautical miles you've rowed and how many miles you have yet to row.
Yeah, actually this morning we just came under the 900 nautical miles left. This particular year has been a long year due to bad weather, so we had to take a very southerly course and come down by the coast of Africa and across. So it's a kind of a longer trip than we would have expected. We've as you said, over two-thirds of the race done. We're into the 900 nautical miles. And we're in the leading pack of four boats, trying to get home to Antigua as soon as we can.
Which is brilliant. I see you're fourth in overall ranking, and you're first in your category, which is the five men category. How are the other four lads doing?
We're doing okay. To be honest, all the prep in the world, it's a bit of a shell shock when you come on a trip like this. You have all the training done, you have all the mandatory courses completed, but when you soon realise that the Atlantic is in control and all you are is a very small vessel that you're trying to keep moving in a certain direction, but the sea is very much in control, and it's been physically and mentally tough. As I said, we're 27 days in today, and it does take its toll on you.
So talk to me a little bit about the mental aspect of it.
Yeah, so we were in Legamira 2 weeks prior to the race start, and we were doing all the prep. And in the second week, they told us that we would probably have to go early. And I suppose that was the first challenge we had as a team. We had kind of a date set in our head when we'd all take off. But because of a very bad weather front that was coming in, we had to start 3 days early in the race. So we had to get over that one fairly soon, and we moved out. Early into the race, Ray, I was extremely sick. I actually was sick before we left, and I spent 10 days nursing seasickness. Wasn't able to keep down food, pretty much not able to keep down water. And the guys kind of got me through that. And in all that time, we managed to, I suppose, stay in the top four. We had set out with a very clear objective that we would do our best within our capabilities. We didn't know what that meant because we'd never rowed an Atlantic Ocean before. It's not like comparing your times in a marathon. So when we set out and we worked hard, we realised we were pretty much in contention for possibly a podium finish if we kept the hard work up. So here we are 27 days in, and it's still looking likely that could be a possibility for us.
Yeah. Will you remind our listeners, please, John, about Saoirse, who died April of last year, your beautiful 13-year-old daughter?
Yeah, so as we would have talked about before when we had the last interview, like, Saoirse was an amazing character. Myself and Eva were completely blessed to have her in our lives for 13 years. Although we never expected it to come to an end, at 13, our lives are completely different. That she's been there, and she taught us so much. And over the course of her life, we did a lot for charity, pretty much driven by Saoirse and our needs as parents to be able to give back. And this was another charity event we had planned, and it was always with the anticipation that when it got to Antigua, the Saoirse would be there with us to celebrate in the achievement, and that we would raise a lot of money for charity. The main reason for me considering to do this was I felt like rowing in Atlantic Ocean was a way of assimilating with a young person who has congenital heart disease. Their life is very difficult, fraught with challenges. Day to day brings new challenges, both mentally and physically. And I thought somehow that as a parent, if I went through something very difficult like this, that I'd somehow have a deeper appreciation. And to be honest, you know, it was a very difficult decision to consider coming this row after we lost her. But it's definitely worthwhile from the perspective that we can hopefully make a change to some other children's lives through the money that we've raised on this particular venture.
Yeah. And do you feel that you are, I suppose, walking a little bit in Saoirse's shoes doing this?
Yeah, a very small bit.
Yeah.
It's been hugely challenging. Like the week we left, it would have been Saoirse's 14th birthday. So myself and Aoife and my son Rain were in Lagomera together. And we were faced with, you know, a couple of days later I was getting on a boat and leaving for a period of time. We was undetermined. So, like, those challenges not being there with my wife and my son and our first Christmas without our daughter has been extremely difficult. Being on this journey, lots of people that go on a journey like this, it's about figuring out their own lives and about what maybe life has in store for them going forward. For me, it's been an immersion in grief. It's every day is every waking moment is a thought about Saoirse, and I'm trying to funnel the energy, that she gave me over the period of her life, and I'm trying to funnel that into doing something positive.
Yeah.
But it's been extremely, extremely difficult. I'd say even the guys on the trip with me have experienced how difficult it is to be around someone who's immersed in grief. I can't go anywhere. There is nowhere to go. This is an 8.5 meter long boat by 1 meter wide, and there's very little time to be by yourself. So out of my 15 hours rowing a day, I probably spend 5 hours crying, thinking about life and what life has now brought to me. You know, it's about dealing with what has passed rather than what will come in my life. You know. It's been a very difficult journey for me, particularly anyway, from a mental perspective.
You poor thing. And you're out there with Conor and Roger and Dara and Enda. And this is closer, I suppose, to a group of men than you'll ever get in your life again. It's quite intense and you're going through grief. I suppose they're finding out things about themselves as well. I know that's their story, but it's going to be a journey of exploration for them as well.
Yeah, I definitely think so. And I definitely think the experience of doing this with somebody like myself who's just lost a child, I mean, I think it maybe brought another level of difficulty for the guys.
Yeah.
You know, they obviously sense and feel my grief. My frustrations, although I try and mask it as much as I can, a lot of the conversations do end up being about life and family. We've all had very reflective times on this journey about our families and our loved ones and how much we miss them, and I think across the board there's a deeper sense of appreciation for what we have in life.
Yeah.
Coming on something like this, where it's stripped down to the bare bones, where there's no niceties about it, there's no kind of amenities, you really get a sense of what's important in life, and that's your family and your loved ones. I mean, that's really penultimately what it's identified to the guys, I think, anyway, definitely.
Yeah. And you're out there in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, you haven't seen land for the last 4 weeks, and you won't see land now for another, how many weeks? Two, is it?
Hopefully 2 weeks, yeah. It's like being immersed into what we've stepped into here. Like, we were 2 days in and we hit very bad weather, and all of a sudden we're dealing with 30, 40 foot waves, and it's a bit exhilarating at the start, and you're out there and you're trying to manage the boat as best you can, and then after 5 hours you're thinking, when is this going to stop? It's never going to stop. Just relentless. The sea is like that, and then instantaneously it stops and the sun comes out. And then the next day we hit a sandstorm in the middle of the ocean. The sands blew off of the deserts in Africa and out into the ocean. So the challenge was we had no power because the sunlight was blocked out. There was a total haze in the ocean. We struggled to make contact with land because the sat phones wouldn't work. And it's just a repetitive series of things you have not prepared for.
Mm.
And you're dealing with them there and then. But together as a team, we've rallied really well. The guys have been very calm and cool and collected under the challenges that we faced. A couple of scary moments, but in general, we've done. I would believe we exceeded our expectations. When we set out to do the journey, Ray, and we made a promise to each other that we would do our best on the journey. We had no comparison to what that was. And I suppose a couple of weeks in, our wives have been talking to us and said, everywhere I go, there's someone talking about your role, you know, and how well you're doing. And I suppose a reflective moment on the boat was like, God, we're actually doing really well. We're in the top four. We've maintained the top four position. And we although we set out to do well, we had no idea what that was. And then it was like a battle of self-belief. You know, should we be here? Do we deserve to be here? Do we deserve to be in this position? And so there were kind of moments of magic definitely for me out here where we actually realized that we had prepared ourselves so well. We had adapted to life on the water extremely well. And we worked together as a team really well. And it gave us a deserving position in the race, which was something fantastic. We gained nearly 600 followers on our WhatsApp group, and the support from home has just been absolutely tremendous. Like, it's,
but what about dolphins, whales?
Yeah, exactly.
Anything like that?
Yeah, we saw a pod of dolphins, and we saw a whale. We couldn't identify exactly which whale it was. He just crossed our path. But primarily, the biggest thing we see is flying fish at night when we're in the boat. And we've got the tri light on, which is our identification lighting, and the fish jump over the boat, which is it's quite surreal when you're in the middle of the ocean, especially when one of them hits you in the face, you know. You're just plodding along at 2 o'clock in the morning, half asleep, and then you get a fish in the side of the face, which is kind of a funny one to happen, and it happens quite regular, pretty much every day.
You've 2/3 in, a third to go. I'd imagine the darkest days are yet to come, or are they? I don't know. Is it downhill from here?
Yeah, I think you know that's something that we've had a challenge with. You know, when we set out to do this, we were looking at previous Irish teams that had done it, and you're kind of setting your markers somewhere between 30 and 35 days, and then you realise, as I said, you're a slave to the ocean. The ocean calls the shots, not the people in the boat. You have a guy who's leading the race this year. He's won multiple categories, singles, the doubles, the triples. And he's going slow too, and has recognised that some years the ocean and the weather call the shot, and that you're just along for the ride. So we're not getting our hopes up too much that the back is broken on it. At the moment, going is very slow, so there's a lot of very tough rowing and slack water to make up the miles every day. But we're determined to get there, obviously. There's no other way but to go through the pain and suffering. And you know, it's only temporary. Once we get this over with, we'll be reunited with our families in Antigua, hopefully in the coming 2 weeks.
Well, listen, John, thanks for taking our call from the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. And hopefully we will chat to you before the finish. Team Power of One. John, good luck with everything. Mind yourself. Mind yourself. Thanks, John.
Thanks, Ray. Take care.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.